Chapter 15. Even though I had known Marina's father for only a short time, I felt like I had lost a good friend. It's funny to admit this, but something about his death made me feel sorry for myself. I mean, if interfered with Marina and me becoming closer and getting to have fun, I wondered if we'd ever be able to have fun again, ever. I know that sounds stupid under the circumstances, but I felt cheated out of something. I wanted to have this boyfriend-girlfriend thing. I wanted to forget about the battles and about the destruction and now all the sadness, but it just wouldn't go away. Don't get me wrong, I was there for Marina. I was ready and willing to help out with everything. Sometimes she wanted me around. Sometimes she wanted to be herself. I just went along with her moods. On the day of the funeral, I nearly panicked. I almost couldn't handle it. My mother had ironed a white shirt for me and set out a tie and my old suit jacket. I hadn't worn any of that gear for a long while. The suit had always been too big for me, too bulky. Now it barely fit. The arms were too short and I could hardly get in button. No one will notice, my mom lied. Putting on the tie did it. I was looking at myself in the mirror and I didn't look like me. Something had happened this last year. Something weird was going on with me this summer. Suddenly, I didn't care about Marina and her old man dying. I cared about me. And it wasn't fair. I didn't want to fight the incinerator anymore. I didn't want to have to deal with adults who didn't care how they screwed up. I didn't want to have to work at a Joe job at the gas station. And I didn't want to have to go to some stupid funeral where adults would stand around being formal and polite and saying stuff that didn't mean anything at all. But above all, I thought, as I stood there looking at the goofball in a too tight straight jacket of a suit, I didn't want to grow up. Time to go, my father said. He and Mom were driving me to the funeral. Mrs. Reerson was the first dead person I'd ever seen up close. He was lying in a coffin, looking pale and somehow fake. The funeral parlor had lots of flowers and religious music coming out of a big speaker in the walls. There were surprisingly few people there. I shook hands with some folks and that I didn't know. Everybody kept saying how sorry they were. Marina, are you okay? I asked her as soon as I could get away from my parents. No, I'm not okay. I don't think I ever will be. She was mad. She was very angry. I don't want to be around all these people. Most of them, I don't even know. Let's get out of here then. Let's go outside. No, I have to stay here with my mom. I have to stay with her. I tried to put my arm around her shoulder, but she pushed me away. You can't take it all on yourself. I was trying to say that I wanted to help, but she wouldn't let me. She was about to cry again, and I didn't know what she wanted me to do. She sucked in a sob and took a deep breath. Then, looking at the wall, not at me, she said, I want you to just leave me alone today, okay? I know you're trying to be helpful, but I don't like you feeling sorry for me right now. I need to be with my mother, and I don't want you around. Not now. Not for a few days. I just want some distance, and I don't want you around. Why? I asked, completely bewildered. It confuses me, she said. I know you're trying to be a good guy, but I don't want it right now. I don't want to depend on anyone, and I don't want you around. Then she got up and walked over to her mom. She smiled a fake smile at some people coming in through the door and acted cool as ice, unmoved. I went back to my parents, and we all just sat there doing nothing, saying nothing. There was a short service, and the minister told some details about Mr. Reerson's life. How he had grown up along the shores of Rocky Harbor, and how he had come home. He said that Mr. Reerson had been a good worker, a good husband, and a good father, but it was all rather vague, and it could have been a description of anyone. I kept waiting for him to say something real, but it didn't happen. I wanted him to explain about the cancer that had killed this good husband and good father. I wanted him to make the connection with Dial Chemical, but nothing was said. He missed saying everything that was important about the man. I wished I had the courage to stand up then and name Dial Chemical as the cause of the death, because this was all a big wishy-washy performance to make everybody feel better. It was all bullshit. At the burial, I couldn't even get Marina to look at me. She was holding onto her mom, and I could see that she was right. Marina was the stronger one. She was the one keeping her cool, her face like stone, as her father was lowered in the casket into the ground. When the last prayer was said, she led her mother to a waiting car, and they were gone. When I looked back at my parents, I was shocked to see that my father was crying. His head was bent over and his shoulders were shaking. I had never seen him cry before, and I knew that he had only met Mr. Reerson once. There was more going on here than I understood. My mother drove us home, and we all sat silently in the car. Then I went for a walk along the shoreline and skipped stones out into the water. There was a good wind up out of the southeast. I thought of going sailing just to make myself feel better, but it didn't seem right. Nothing seemed right, so I sat down on a rock and said her name out loud, over and over, Marina, Marina, Marina.